Praise the Lord. Y'all did a good job this morning. You never forget. Sometimes closeness or intimacy causes you to forget what's in your presence. The pianist did a tremendous job. If I could play like her, I would never stop playing. Bill did a great job. If I could sing like him, I wouldn't stop singing. They both need to be turned loose. The what's built in every one of us is negative. Do you know that? And we don't practice enough at looking at what's positive and not listening to the negative. And that's why we're getting down in the dumps. That's why we get on each other's case. We, unlike God, we call ourselves Christ-like. But unlike Christ, he looks at the positives. We look at the negative. And that's why we spend all our time in down in the dumps and trouble or whatever. We'd never have a worry. We'd never ever care. We'd always be in joy. You couldn't make me sad because I've decided not to be sad. And I've decided, what's the scripture say?
I am determined not to know anything.
Amen. Yes.
Now, if that's all I saw in you, I wouldn't notice you made a mistake up here. Would I? Because I recognize that you were talking to God. And if there was a little mistake, who gives a rip? That's what we need to be doing. You talked about the negative. Negative is a sound, and positive is a sound. And what do I sound like? Amen. And if I determined that you're a good sound or a bad sound, and see, what I determine makes no difference. Like if I determine you're a bad sound, I've just been wrong. I'm wrong. If I'm determined you're a good sound, I've gotten on the side of right. And right only comes from one, righteous. Now, a negative sound cannot come from God.
That's right.
Now, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. A negative sound cannot come from life.
Amen.
So if we're hearing a negative sound, guess who's out of order? It's like the old saying, if God is not where you are, guess who moved?
Yep.
I'm telling you, if it's not positive in our minds, guess who is listening to the wrong sound?
Yes. Yes.
Now I want to show you something. And this is not part of the message. This is free. Hey, Patrick, put up Joshua 1:1. And let me show you something. We always think of negative as death as negative. And many years ago I read this. Now, you can imagine the crowd that was following Moses. Can you picture that? It's a number greater than most of us can even picture. Their hope, their faith, their future was based on Moses. And guess what? Moses died. That's fairly negative, would you say? That's right. No. No, look here. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, what did he say there? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, did I say a negative sound couldn't come from God? So the announcement of Moses' death is not negative to those that are following God.
Amen.
If you're following Moses, you're dead.
Yep.
You died with him.
Yep.
All of your hopes, your dreams, you just died. So there's going to be all the faces drop. Oh. But look what happens. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, what was God saying here? It may look like it's an end, but listen, was the will of God Moses, or was the will of God a future for his people? And God is visiting them, announcing nearly with a smile, Moses is dead. Now get up, let's go. You have that much time to mourn. If you will remember something, whatever sounds negative, you have that much time and no more. God is not going to give you any more. Just like that. And the promise is not dead. That's right. What I said I would do, I will do. And if I can't do it through I will not do it through a dead man, so I've already picked another one. Don't you die, or we'll go on without you.
Amen.
Now, if we can just get ourselves with that kind of an attitude, we won't be down very much.
Amen.
Because the will of God is the will of God. God's will is positive. You can see it any way you want to. 90% of the crowd could have just dropped with Moses, lay down on the ground and died. And God would have still gone on.
Amen.
Now, do we want to be part of the positive or the dead?
Positive.
So there's nothing that's going to happen in my life, there's nothing going to happen in yours that God is going to cause to be negative.
That's right.
Yeah. If it's negative, you caused it.
Yep.
You know what general human trait is? To blame somebody else. And that's usually negative. Because it gives you no room for repentance. It gives you no room for growth. It gives you no room for change. It's everybody else that has to. So now all of these people that are getting the announcement that Moses is dead has the right to blame God and fall down. Blame Moses, which he don't care, or to pick up themselves by their own bootstraps and get moving. All right. That is to go along with what you're talking about. It's to go along with what we've all been through. That was free. If you'll close that down, we'll start with a word of prayer, if we have not already started. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being in this house. I thank you for the privilege of being with friends, gifted ones, talented ones, loved ones of God. I ask you this morning to use me, to change me, and change these people by your word and by this faith and prayer. And we give you honor and glory forever in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says, amen.
Amen.
By the way, that scripture just changed my life a few years back. When you get a little down in the mouth, feel like there's no direction, somebody's left you, somebody's forsaken you, they're dead. Let's move on. That's dead. Let's move on. Now I'm going to talk to you about something this morning that is, I want you to test yourself. Don't make me do it. You might not like it. And that is your surety. You know, God is speaking, has been for months now. I started off Sunday talking about his command to me that we've got to believe God more. That is the word for right now around the world, by the way. That's not for you. It's not for me. It's for everybody. He has said we're going to have to trust God more. That's not a suggestion. That means you'll be laying with the dead if you're not. If you don't get busy trusting more and more and more, we're going to be laying with these faint-hearted. So this is just working in me constantly. And I know one of the things we're supposed to do is check ourselves. If we'll stop checking others, we might have time to check ourselves out.
Yes.
And here's what I want to check this morning. Is your future sure? And if it is, then why do we sometimes act like it's not? Why do we even let it pass through our minds that there might be a failure? Our God only said to Moses, we're going to the promised land. As soon as Moses was dead, the promise is dead. No. We need to remember the promise was delivered to us in Christ Jesus. It was sealed by his death and his resurrection. It was sealed by his shed blood and then revealed to the entire world, including Satan, by his resurrection. Did he not die? Did he not rise? Is my future sure?
Yes.
All right. Let's go back to some basic things. And maybe, what does being saved mean? Can you tell me what the word is? I've said it many a time. The best human thing I can show you is that when a baseball umpire does that, he never changes his mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. You can argue, you can yell and scream, and safe means safe. They can't put you out. Now, there are three references, three uses of the word. This is one of them, 4982, which is sozo or sozo. There's another one, 49. Go ahead. That one is to be safe, saved, delivered, protected, healed, preserved. All those things that you say you are, but you don't act like you are. You understand? Are you safe? Then why would there ever be any consideration of worry? Why would you ever let an enemy tell you, after Jesus died for this, that you don't have it? Under any conditions, are you delivered? So whatever problems we were bound up in, we were delivered, and now we're safe. Do we have a history? Yes. Is it bad? Probably. But see, we were delivered, and now we're safe. More than that, we're protected. Jesus didn't just die and save us, remove history, but he was resurrected, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father too, and sent the Comforter to what? Come on, let's get involved here. Are you protected? Then why do you worry? I'll use Karen as a bad example. She's available. years ago, so I covered it now. It's years ago. When we went to Cozumel, she said, I can't fly. Why can't you fly? Well, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? Well, she couldn't tell me. So she suggested that if she got good and drunk, she wouldn't be afraid. Okay, well, I might be afraid if you're good and drunk. So let's don't go there. We talked and we talked. And I think the Holy Spirit ministered to her about these things. Those three things right there. So it wasn't fully active in her life. So what did she do? The first time she sat down in a plane seat, she opened the Bible up, put fingerprints in it, and read. That's what she did. She wouldn't look up. She wouldn't talk. She wanted to read the whole flight. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. What's better is to walk in this. And she would now. If she got a plane now, that's where she'd be, right? Why? Why am I safe? Because I'm protected. Why am I protected? Because I'm safe. That was the Word of God. This is the Word of God. He has to fulfill, right? The promised land that He gave you, He has to take you into it. We can't climb into the promised land. We can believe our way into it. The only way to please God is by faith, not by your works. So all we have to do is meditate. You know what you do? You meditate on this right here instead of a plane crash, and you won't ever go through the plane crash. Well, what if the plane crashes? You meditate on this, and you will never crash. I promise you. No, I don't promise you. Forget me. God promises you. Because you are sozod. It's history. It's done. It's finished. Now I walk in health, and I walk in preservation. I can save others. All I got to do is teach them to do this, right? Just to think on these things. I can do well and I can be whole. It's not a suggestion. It's part of the package. If you don't take this whole package, you won't be this. Amen. I promise you, if you don't take the whole package, you will not be safe. It's used another time. It's 49:91 New Testament. Patrick, if you want to bring that up again. Soteria. And you can see it comes from the root 49:90. This one means rescue or safety. Now, all of you know that you were in deep trouble on your way to hell. And what Jesus did to make you safe was to rescue you. You're rescued. You are never, if you go back to the other word, you are never saved from something unless you're saved to something. Pulling you out of the water is no good unless they can put you on dry land or ship. You're not safe until you're on the ship. And you're not even safe until you recognize you're on the ship. Dogs keep swimming. You can pull them out of the water and they keep swimming. They never get safe until they got their feet down. Kind of like we are sometimes. This comes to the root word 49:90, which describes who did it. Okay? You were rescued by Christ for safety. Your safety, not His. And if you want to put another one up there, it's 1295. These are the way the words are used in the New Testament. This is 4982 is sozo. That's the root word it's from. Here's what you are. To save thoroughly. The Bible used the word uttermost. We forget uttermost sometimes. You are cured. You're preserved. You're rescued. I'm afraid too many times we spend our time praying for salvation. And we don't even call it salvation. We're yelling, help! When Jesus says, I'm finished. Understand what I'm saying? We're not safe from ourselves. And when we accomplish being safe from ourselves, we'll know we're safe. Yes. And how do I know when I'm safe from myself? When you don't worry anymore. Now, did I say you would never have any worried thoughts? No, I didn't say that. Remember what I said? God said, Moses is dead. Get moving. That's how much time you have to worry. If we would allow ourselves less than a second to worry, we will always be safe. Let me say it another way. The minute you recognize that you are in trouble, the very next split second, you must recognize that you're saved. A suggestion has been made. There might be danger. The truth comes, no way. The suggestion comes, I'm at the end of everything I've tried to accomplish. It's just all. And the word says, not true. The word negative word comes, the positive word comes, you must call the negative word a liar, which is you. Harry alluded to it this morning about your mind. The heart of a man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ. We want this. Two divisions here. My job to be saved is to remind myself I'm saved. When the other part of me is trying to tell me this won't work. We were scuba diving one time. And Connie, for instance, for a moment, thought she lost me. She thought I'd died or whatever. Who knows what was going on in the mind? She couldn't see me anymore, and yet I was right here. But she had gone far enough in that instant of fear to where she couldn't see the truth. She's standing, wide-eyed, just standing there, until somebody walked up and grabbed her hand and said, "Let's go." Jesus said, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. He's the one that says, let's go. He's not a sweetheart. He's not one that says, oh, baby, come on, come on, come on. That's not his job. His job is to say, let's go. We don't have the time to stop here. We don't have time to die here. We don't have time to sit here. Let us go. And the minute she got this let us go in mind, the glaze went away, and now everything's fine. It was a moment of life or death, right there, 100 feet underground, underwater, and she has to make her mind up. If we would remember that everything we do, every moment we live, is life and death. We're going to be offered death. It's not a threat of death. We're going to be offered death. We're going to be offered life. Choose you this moment, life or death. By the way, I recommend life. Is that what God says in the Word? So every moment we're going to be offered a reason to cut and run or die or lay down or give up hope. All these people following Moses, I know our hearts would have suggested giving up hope. If we'd have been there, that's what would have happened. It would have been suggested, and we would have had to decide, this voice God's saying lay down and die, or is it God's voice saying, let's go? Remember what I said. What do the voices sound like? The same. Don't think that that when Satan's voice comes across, it'll sound like God, but don't think it'll sound silly. It's going to sound reasonable. It's going to sound rational. It's going to sound like a good suggestion. But if you have the truth in you, you've been set free from non-truth. How are you going to know God's voice? Because you're going to recognize non-truth. It's not going to be so distinguishable. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and my sheep know my voice. It didn't mean the difference between my voice and your voice, Bill. It meant the difference between truth and non-truth.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we know. If you are a Christian, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will know when something is suggested to you that instantly you will know that it's wrong or right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you only have that long to feel sorry for yourself. Most of the time, I hate to be mean, but most of the time when we get down in the dumps, we feel sorry for ourselves. And the reason we don't call somebody for help is we want to feel sorry for ourselves a little while longer. Instead of saying, I'm going to call somebody that's going to boot me out of here. They're not going to let me stay here. Now, can it be done by yourself? Sure it can. Sure it can. Now, I want to make sure, I'm going to make a statement to you. I think that most Christians are not fully safe. In fact, I'll guarantee you that most Christians are more mouth than do. And when the press comes, don't be leaning on them. You need to be leaning on you. You need to be strong. You don't need to wait to be of good courage. You need to be now, because somebody may depend on you later to help them. If you need help, Holy Spirit will be there. But the whole idea is to build you up, strengthen you, so that we can tell somebody, there's no danger here. I remember, I'm safe. I want to cover a couple of things. How safe are we? How safe are we? How safe are you? And I was sitting at a dinner table with my brother last night, and he was, do you ever get tired of hearing somebody's woes? Especially when you tell me about your medical problems. Especially if you call yourself a Christian, you tell me about your medical problems. You're not exalting God, you're exalting a doctor. That's what you're doing to me. I don't care what you say, I don't care how you see it, that's what you're doing. And you are boring me stiff. Because I'm not going to participate in that. And I can't even, am I telling the truth? I can't tell you of all the procedures he's put himself through. And his words, his word to me was, Stan, I'm going to be safe. My dad basically didn't take care of himself, and he died at 84. And he died of colon cancer, he said. Well, I was there. He didn't die of colon cancer. By the way, somebody told me the other day that my mother died of lung cancer. She didn't die of lung cancer.
That's right.
I don't know where they got this stuff. Well, he died of colon cancer, and it's not going to happen to me. Well, number one, it wasn't true that he died of colon cancer, so it's not going to happen to me is not true. You've got to walk in the truth. Most Christians are not totally safe because they don't totally walk in the truth. You want to practice something, you practice not lying. Oh, it's a good practice. Somebody asks you a question, you give them the truth no matter what. Oh, this will cause, I don't care, cause it. Now, what that was directed to me because he'd said, I take a lot, I take aspirin. I said, I don't take aspirin, ever. He said, why? I said, I'm not supposed to. Why? I said, because it makes me bleed. What? I said, it makes me bleed. That's a hint, I'm not supposed to take it. Now, you see, that's how truth works. Instead of, oh, you're dying. No, that's a word, don't take the aspirin. You don't need it. That's when he reminded me of a non-truth saying, well, Dad, you know, Dad died of colon cancer. You need to have that checked. Now, there's the invitation. There's the invitation. A lot of Christians will instantly start sweating right about here and saying, let's make an appointment tomorrow. I've had my appointment. I met Jesus, and he told me that I'm safe. That's what he told me. Now, I can believe this lie, or I can believe I'm safe. How do I know if I'm truly saved? No fear. No worry. No concern. Not even enough to make an appointment. Now, this is going back to what I started telling you. We either trust God more or we trust Him less every day.
Yes.
If I'm trying to go forward, going backward is the wrong direction.
That's right. Yes.
Where's the test? Where is the test? Do I need, look, if this is my word right here, if that's my word, then why am I asking somebody else how I am? It's quiet in this morgue. I said, how safe are we? I need to be sure how safe I am. Am I totally safe? Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. Do you know no priest made me safe? Everybody here know that? I know people that said, I got saved under so-and-so on the 35th day of 1981 in whatever month. Their salvation is a memory. You know when I got saved? This morning. You know when I get saved again? Right now. Let me tell you why. You see, if a man has anything to do with it, it happens once. And it dies with the man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read. But he, because he continues forever, to be Jesus, has an unchangeable priesthood. You know what that means? The man that saved me, which is Jesus, is forever. What does that mean? That means that safe word is forever. It doesn't. If Moses died, my salvation, my promise, my future doesn't die. Because I have a forever priest. Let's go further. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. You know what uttermost means? That means there's nothing that cannot make me saved or take away my safety. Saved to the uttermost who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. That means when there's something going to attack me and I don't even know about it, I'm safe. Because He's interceding. How many of you know that? You know that you know that you know that nothing is sneaking up on you. There's no sickness, disease, poverty, calamity. There's nothing that's sneaking up on you that your Savior doesn't see and has already interceded.
Amen.
That means there's a way, it's His way, and not human way. For such a high priest was fitting for us. This is a fantastic statement right here. For such a priest, are you getting that? For such a priest was fitting for me. Where does that put y'all? You understand what a privileged statement that is? God said that this high priest that's forever, that ever loves and ever intercedes, was fitting for me. He's my size. I mean, He's what I needed, and I'm what He needed. We're fit together. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, and is fitting for me. Why are we letting all this negative stuff come upon us? Harry, fitting for me. That's what God thinks that I'm worth and worthy. 27, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins. If you're following a man, if there's a man that you're a priest, that man has to go offer up sacrifices for his sins before he can do you. Jesus doesn't need that. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. He was the only payment for sin. No high priest, no high priest, no man of any kind. There's only one. Verse 28. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness. So if you're holding up a man as a high priest, God's saying he has a weakness. And you will eventually know about it. But the word of the oath is the promise of God, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So the man I look to is a perfect man. Amen. And God says, fitting for me. Who can be saved and what do they look like? I told my wife this morning on the way over here, we forget that Christians are supposed to look like something. What? Like Christ. And if you're not a whole Christian, you don't look like Christ. Now, all we got to do is stand in the mirror and say, do you look like Christ? That's judging yourself. And if we don't, there's therefore now no condemnation. There's only correction. You might get a little chastisement. In God's way, that's love. And that means correction, direction. Remember, I told you that before. Correction is a direction. When they talked about Moses, his dead, get moving, that was a correction and a direction. Mark 16:16-18. Who can be saved? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, how hard is this? This is all hard. You better get it down. We're not Christians until we know we are safe. How do we know we are safe? He believes and is baptized. You're safe when you believe. But he who does not believe will not be... But he who does not believe will be condemned. Remember I told you Sunday, the only way to please God is by faith. And your faith is going to show. Here's the mistake. Christians don't want to show their faith because they don't have any. I don't want to show you my faith because you'd find out quick I don't have any. I don't care what their name is. Forgive me, I'm going to give some more truth here. I don't care what their name is or who they are. If the testimony is I'm saved, and the next thing they're doing is seeking help outside of the Lord, I'm sorry, you're not safe. Stan, Christian, the only Christian, a Christian, the very definition is Christ-like. Now you got to read your word and find out who Christ is, and you need to do what he does. He believed the Father. He believed the Word. He was the Word. He believed it, never took any other suggestions. He didn't worry about money. He didn't worry about his enemies. He didn't worry about getting hung on a cross. He didn't worry about what men thought of him. He only wanted to please the Father. Let's go some more. Verse 17. This is what a Christian looks like. Y'all ready for a new assignment? And these signs will follow those who believe. By the way, I'm looking for the option. Is this an option? Is this? Because we've just read, you have to believe. In my name, look like me, act like me. They will cast out demons. You mean there are really demons? When are you going to start believing? How can you cast out anything you don't even believe there are? They will speak with new tongues. You won't sound like the world. You won't talk like the world. You won't act like the world. And you will not become worried or afraid of the things the world does. You will speak in a strange sound to the world. I didn't say you have to. I didn't mean bringing up tongues here. I'm talking the kind of tongues we usually talk about. I'm talking about you are not supposed to sound like the world. Jesus, they said of Jesus, what? We've never heard anything like this before. When's the last time somebody told you that? Are we truly saved? safe? 18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. What plague are you worried about today? You worried about staph infection? Swine flu? We have the staph, and we're not swine. Well, I got to be careful. If I drink after anybody, I might get too much worry. Any worry is too much worry. It's not like Christ. Now look at this. Verse 18, no suggestions. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Michael, did I lay hands on you? You will recover. You know what? Who's most likely to doubt it? The guy that laid hands on. You know, when you lay hands on somebody and pray for them, you know who's most likely to get discouraged? The one that lays the hands on. Because that's where the word, the negative word, is coming from. You didn't see it. It didn't say you'll see it and then they'll recover. It says they will recover. If you will, they will.
Amen.
That looks like Christ. Are we really safe? John 8:36. What does it say? All right, I'll read it to you. All right, what does it say?
If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Do we look like Christ? Am I free? Am I afraid to go to bed tonight because I might worry and toss and turn all night? Am I afraid that some yahoo with a strange looking garb is gonna take over my country or my house? Or come on, what are we free of? What do we act like we're free of? You know what I'm free of? I'm free of weight worries. I'm going to walk. I look like Christ. I'm going to look like Him when I walk. Might it take a little effort on my part? Might not. Don't care. I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk in health. I'm not going to go ask a man if I'm healthy. Why would I ask a man if I'm healthy? God told me I was safe. Am I free from worry of that? Depends on if I want to be safe or not. Because worry is anti-safe. It's anti-faith. Worry is, the true definition of worry is anti-faith, anti-Christ. Is this hard?
It's true.
I'm just reading you scripture. If you're one of those people that like to blame other people, blame God. He's got big shoulders. When you are safe, are you safe forever?
Yes.
What about Judas? He was walking with safe. He was walking with the Savior. He was, just like the others were. This is something, didn't he? This is something we all better remember, because you're on the wrong side of the fence. Let me show you why. It says no man. I can't pull you out of salvation. I can't do that. I can't pull you away from your Savior. I can't do that. But you can. That's why you're not safe forever unless you say you are safe forever. The man that has the last word always wins. Just write that on the wall as the 11th commandment. Because the enemy will spend his time telling you you're not safe. You ever agree with him? You're not. Judas was as safe as any of the other apostles or disciples until he decided that he had a better way. Just like in the garden, there was no people any more safe or saved than Adam and Eve. They had never even known sin. So they were more pure than we ever thought about being. They didn't even have any knowledge of sin. There was no wrong, so it was all right. And yet when they decided they had a better way, they were sinners. Judas was as saved as you and me until he decided God had a better, I mean, he had a better way than God. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he meant no wrong. He was actually trying to help the crucifixion because he knew that's the will of God. How about if we just suggest that? He still went to hell because he didn't follow the timing and the will of God. You understand what I just said? Let's just think good about Judas. His whole intent was to help Jesus get crucified. Did you ever think about it that way? Jesus told him he's going to be crucified. Well, shoot, I'll help. If this is the will of God, I'm going to help you, Jesus. So he betrays him in his own knowledge because he doesn't do it the way the Father wanted it done. And he lost his life and his salvation because of that. Remember what I'm saying, because I want it to apply to us. There's only one way, and that's to please the Father. And we do that by being safe every day. How do we do that? We control our thoughts. Go back to the CD Sunday. We find ourselves thinking anything but what the Word is telling us to think. Stop thinking.
Amen.
Just stop it. Don't try to aid God. Don't try to help God. Listen, y'all laugh. This is what we do. We want to help God.
Yeah.
Instead of trusting, we help Him. He was around here doing His thing before you and I ever discovered America. And it's too late to help Him. We serve those that wait upon the Lord. Anybody ever wait a table? Okay, let's just read this right. Those that are servants are waiters upon the Lord. Their strength is renewed. How do you get your strength renewed? Serve the Lord. Whatever He asks for, whatever He wants, serve Him. Romans 6:15-16. Now we're saved, right? Forever. We're safe. Okay. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? In other words, are we covered no matter what we do? We're grace people. Oh, He's full of grace and mercy. So no matter what I do, I'm safe? Certainly not. I didn't write that. Verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. Y'all get that? See, grace is for mistakes. Grace is not for things done on purpose. That's called rebellion. Things done on purpose are rebellion. You're not going to get a lot of grace and mercy. I got enough drill sergeant in me to tell you what you're going to get out of rebellion is a good slap in the face. Kick in the behind. If you didn't mean it, grace, the comforter. He'll never accuse you of doing wrong if in here, Bill, you didn't do anything wrong. But if we determine to do wrong, we're going to be called wrong. How do I know that? Because He's a man of truth. He'll not lie just because of grace. He won't cover you that way. John 8:42-44. What do Christians look like? All right, what do they not look like? Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but He sent me." Look, let's take it off of Jesus for a minute. Bill, if God were your Father, you'd love me. How many Christians hate? How many Christians have walked in unforgiveness? They call themselves one thing, but their father is Satan because of unforgiveness. I don't care if it's you forgiving you forgiving somebody else. I'm sorry. Forgiveness is mandatory. It is not optional. If you walk in unforgiveness, your Father's not God. 43. Why do you not understand my speech? You know people that walk in unforgiveness will get mad at you if you talk about forgiveness? You know that? I know some of you do. You try to get somebody to forgive, they get mad. You know what you did? You remember what you did to me? No. No. I'll tell you what, let's just kill me and get it over with. Now what? I'm dead and you're still unforgiven because the Bible said if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, your father's Satan. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Listen means heed, recognize and obey. The reason you don't understand what I'm saying, Jesus said, is because you will not do my word. 44. You are of your father, the devil. He is talking to some of his followers. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. What does a non-Christian look like? A non-Christian is one that never recognizes the truth. Because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. What does it say? The devil can't do anything but lie. Remember when Jesus and the devil from the top of the mountain spoke? The devil spoke scripture to Jesus, and it was a lie. Why? Because the Bible says that his very self, his resources, that's all he's got is a lie. No truth involved, and we'll never recognize the truth. You guys have heard this many a time as the last part, but Mark 11:26. Somebody should be able to quote it to me. But if you do not forgive yourself, others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. The biggest warning I can give here is most Christians don't walk fully safe because they are not yet fully forgiven by themselves, mm-hmm. not by God. The blood of Jesus doesn't go around any sin. It just cleans them all. The only person who can bring that sin back is you. And if you're smart, anybody else tries to bring it back, you won't receive it. It's that simple. But you can be destroyed. You cannot walk in the scriptures I've had for you for a Christian by not fully forgiving yourself. All right, let's use another word. Not blaming yourself. Is that a better way to understand it? We can do something simple. I could have walked in here this morning with one brown shoe and one black shoe. And somebody could have said, what's wrong with you? Not a thing. Well, you got one brown shoe and one black shoe. I got another one at home just like that. Got another pair. I'm not going to receive condemnation. Will I get better? Yeah, next time I'm going to look at the color a little closer. I'm going to watch a little closer. But I will not be condemned. Now, that's a very simple, not even a good illustration. But it can be good if you'll receive it. Jean, you ever made a mistake? No. Yes, you can, because Jesus said no. He said he'd remove them from you as far as the east is from the west. That means they do not exist anymore. So no. No. And you know what happens if somebody tries to bring them up, Gene? They are the accuser, and their father is Satan, because they will not recognize the truth that you are forgiven. Now forget them for a minute. Have you recognized the truth that you're forgiven? And if you want to be like, you think Christ walked around about the sins he committed, worrying about the sins he committed? Why? See? There it is. He didn't commit any. Well, have you? No. No. Paul said, that wasn't me, that was Saul. See, the devil's got a name for you. It's dummy. God doesn't call you a dummy. He gives you a name, overcomer, more than a conqueror. And it starts with the first word, forgiven. And don't ever let you or anybody else tell you that you have any other name. I am forgiven. The only way I'll ever walk safe, walk like Christ, is to understand, no. And people will look at you and say, oh, you are so deceived. Thank you. I'm deceived from your truth. I won't recognize your truth. Because it's not truth. I just read that that truth is from Satan. Let me tell you something. God put a lot of confidence in Paul. And if Paul can do it, he's not a respecter of persons. God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. And Paul did a worse sin than anybody could ever think of or commit. He killed the children of God. He killed children of God. And God said, no, you didn't. Why? Because you're forgiven. Now, if you can wrap your little minds around that thought, then you forgive yourself.
Amen.
Maybe we can start walking like Christ, looking like him. The next thing we have a hard time forgiving ourselves is failing God. I remember when God told me and I didn't do that. Okay. First ask him to forgive, and then he is faithful. You better be faithful. You better be like him. You better forgive yourself. Yeah, I missed it that time. I'll catch it next time. Now, if I'm like Christ, if I'm truly safe because Christ said so, because my Father said so, because he paid his only son for that, and I'm not to count it little, and if the scripture says I'm free, that's free indeed. And I act like I'm not free, then I'm calling him a liar.
That's right.
Right? Come on, let's stop being soft Christians just to get a little tough with each other and ourselves. Remember the Bible says God hates the effeminate? That means he hates softness. Why? Because people will get fat and lazy in softness. They'll never accomplish anything. They'll never resist anything. They're just spoiled. And I can't be spoiled and more than a conqueror. It doesn't work. Now, turn to Philippians 4, 18 through 20 there, Patrick. Philippians 4, 18 through 20. Let's just look at our lives with this scripture in mind. I'm sorry, 19. I'm trying to figure out why you and I were not on the same line. There's nothing wrong with this one, but I just wanted to shorten it. This is a promise that the Father gave you through Jesus Christ, backed it up with signing it in Jesus' blood, and we better take it as the truth. And we better stop acting like, it's mostly the truth.
Amen.
But my God shall supply all of your need according to his resources, according to his riches And he did it by Christ Jesus. And he did it for those that are in Christ Jesus. If I'm in my own ability, I'm not in Christ Jesus. If I'm asking another man about my financial future, or my health future, or my family's future, then I'm not in Christ Jesus. If I'm in Christ Jesus, there's only one decree that can be said of me. I'm safe. And I already have that truth. I don't need to ask you, or you, or you. I got it. I'm safe. When I get in an airplane, it's the safest airplane in the sky.
That's right.
When I get in a car, it's the safest car on the road. And even the area around me is safe. Right? Come on. All. What's this word? It's a word we will not take to ourselves. This means that God has already supplied all my need. Because why? Because it's Christ Jesus that was all my need. I have no other need than that. If the Father who owns the whole entire world, above it, below it, all the resources, all the riches, all the money, says that Christ is one with me, he has my checkbook, he did what I want him to do, and he brought me many other sons and daughters, and I get to him through Christ Jesus. Got the picture? God the Father seated in the throne. Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, and I'm seated in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So where does that put me? You know where it puts me? Out of need. I'm sitting in God's riches. So if I worry about finances, I am betraying the very seat that I'm seated in. I look around at all the riches and I say, it's not enough. It won't meet my needs. That's no worse than Judas. That's no worse than Judas. I'm seated next to the truth, or in the truth, and I'm calling it a lie. It's not enough. You're moving too slow. Ooh. That's what Judas said. Yeah, I know the Father told you to be crucified, but let's get it going faster. We say, all my needs are met, but, oh God, let's go faster. That's not faith. Not if you believe God knows what he's doing, does everything in right time. How about socially? How many friends I got? Who I hang around with? Karen has been going through a lesson we all need to go through. And that is that not everybody is valuable to us. There are some people that are very opposite. Subtle. They're subtle. They want to be your friend, and that, of course, that fans our little ego a little bit. But they're out to kill, steal, and destroy. So what must I do? Sorry? I told them on the way here. I told Karen, because we already know that we had a fatal relationship, fatal to the kingdom of God. And it revealed itself as the Father being Satan. We were enjoying that relationship. They were good friends means they acted good, but then they acted bad. And we came to a crossroads and we separated. When we went back to Texas, here they come. We've missed you so much. We're sorry that what we did. Well, that's all good and you're forgiven. But what I see is you're not in church. You were a pastor of a church and you're not even in church now. And your interests are somewhere else. And the word, that's obvious, but here comes the word. The word says, I know, the guy says to me, I know a church is for sale. Let you and I buy it and we'll start a church. Oh, we're just doing it for God. We'll just do it for God. Sorry, we've tried that before. It didn't work. We're not going to try it again. I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll buy the church. We'll start a church and you're 49%. But you sound like a businessman. No, I sound like one that's taking dominion. We will not have this again. I'm warning you, we will not go this way again. Well, that killed that deal. All right, God had his way. The deal's killed. I knew it would. But then she says, you know, I've missed you so much. We need to get together more often. Connie looks at her and says, we got enough friends. I don't need any more. Jesus looked at his best friend and said, get behind me, Satan. Don't tell me she wasn't being Christ-like. If they want salvation, we have the availability. We will introduce to the pastor and his wife salvation. But if they want friendship, we don't have any. We got friends. We have good friends. We got here. We got there. We don't need any more. Now, if you don't understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you will never be able to say that. All right, let me say it another way. Who I am friends with, Jesus has to be friends with, even if it's a devil. And that doesn't make good. That will not work out. Because eventually Jesus will separate himself from me if I won't separate myself from wrongdoing.
Yes, that's right.
It's my choice. Am I safe forever? Yes and no. Yes and no. If I will do what God says, I'm safe forever. If I don't do what God says, I'm not safe forever.
That's right.
How about mentally? You know, the sneakiest thing in the world that's happening right now, the meanest thing, is he takes those that God describes as wisdom, wise, because they have a crown of gray hair glory. And the devil is trying to convince everybody that's over 40 to 50 years old that they're losing their minds. Doesn't he? We got doctors, we got lawyers, we got Indian chiefs, we got advertisements, we got everything in the world that's telling people that should recognize who they are in Christ Jesus that they're less than they used to be. The Bible promises you will not lose anything in age. But if you, Well, ask her. No, you're not going to ask her. But we let another man's word override the word of God. Even your word. I just can't remember. Quit saying it. Maybe you can remember that you quit saying it. I've caught myself doing that. And I'm stopping it. I'm going to be totally saved. I'm not going to be partially saved.
Man.
Does that mean you're not ever going to get symptoms? No. I'm not saying you're not ever going to be tempted. God wants to know if you can withstand temptation. How about marriage? How about marriage? How about marriage? How about it? What we do is we walk around saying, I just don't think there's anybody. I don't think there's anybody I can put up with. You've just moved out of Christ Jesus. Nobody said you can get them tomorrow. I don't know how far God's got to move them. I don't know that. I know some people here have been moved from Canada. That's about as far as you can get. We know other people like that. We know some people they don't know like that. God will do whatever it takes to supply all your need. All you have to do is do whatever it takes to believe. It may take some time. It may take some energy. It may take some broken relationships. It may take going to a church you'd rather go somewhere else. By the way, you remember that laying on it, what Christ looks like in you? Is that you lay your hands on, you cast out demons? You know what's going to happen in most churches if you cast out a demon? Right on. Now, are we ready to be cast out? The church that I attend right now, I got it up to here with the piano player. Not like you. She wanted to run the church. She wanted to run the pastor. She'd just throw fits. By the way, if you're throwing fits, that's your father Satan showing up. You don't have to fit anything to get something done. You just got to be patient and believe. But the last time she went through practice, now this is a big church. She went through practice. She was the leader of the praise and worship team. And I don't know what happened, but she got mad at somebody. Because, oh, they asked for a different mic. She didn't like them asking. Something wrong with that mic. And they asked for a different mic, and she stormed out of the church and went home. Left the church high and dry. What does that say? That says she doesn't care anything about the church. She didn't care anything about God. She only cares about her way. Who's that sound like? So I proclaimed it to be the spirit of Jezebel. Because that's what it was. You know the spirit of Jezebel does? Anything against the move of God, the word, and she always says it's in her head's name. She's just doing it for the good of the people. And the pastor got so mad at me, because it was a good friend of his, that he caught me at somebody else's house. We had a meeting, and he said, you do that again, and I will ask you to leave. I said, I'm an associate pastor. I said, I don't care if you ask, I'm not leaving. You didn't put me here, God did, and you're not kicking me out. He never had anybody say that before. I'm not getting kicked out. Jezebel's getting kicked out. I'm not getting kicked out. And if he sides with Jezebel, I'll kick him out. And he owns the church. No, he does not. It's God's church. I don't care who thinks they're the boss. It's God's church. And God will supply all of the church's needs, my needs, his needs. He may need to get kicked out. He may get supplied. He didn't get kicked out. Another minister came in later on and confirmed my word. There's the signs following. And made him agree with me. God's on his side. And if I'm on his side, he's on my side. Always remember that. God's on his side. And if I'm on his side, he's on my side.
Yes.
And he will choose sides.
Yes.
What's a side? Right.
Amen.
And I hate that you had to say that, Bob. I hate that you had to say that we'd be kicked out for doing the will of God. But it's the truth. I don't care if it's the truth. I'm not getting kicked out. And I'm going to do the will of God. And I'm telling you something. If you go to church long enough, one of the church members will be one of the demons. I'm not accusing anything here. It's a small group. I can say what I will. Large group, I'd get some flack on that. You think that's my first time, huh? How about your health? Well, I have a need. What's your need? Well, I'm eat up with cancer. They give me 1 week to live. Now, what you have to decide is if the word cancer is, again, is bigger than this word. I told you they can be tested with some of this. This is not a freebie. Your faithfulness brings results. Your unfaithfulness, you'll die of cancer. Unless you become as a little child, you'll never understand these things. There is no health issue. Listen, and I'll say this about all the issues, but I'm going to use health since that seems to be the church's weakness. There's no health issue that Jesus did not see on the cross and take upon himself. Will everybody agree with that? No health issue. The issue is, will we believe it? And just so we understand, there's no guilt trips here. If I failed in the past, it has nothing to do with today.
That's right. Yes.
Old things are passed away. All things have become new.
Amen.
If I can't believe that about health, I can't believe it about sin, Gene. Did you know that? Did I make a mistake back there? Yes. No. What? About how I've believed God? About where I've sinned against God? All of those things. All of them. You don't think I've missed it in believing God for health issues? Everybody has. That's how you learn to get stronger. That's how you learn to get stronger. Baby gets up, tries to walk, he falls. You know one thing that helps a baby? Somebody bigger setting the way. The baby looks at it and says, I fell, and they're walking. I think I'm going to try again. And there's no telling how many bruises and bumps they're going to get and how many patties that squirt out of the diapers while they're trying to walk. In other words, we're all going to fall and sit in it once in a while. That's life, but it's no condemnation.
Amen.
I'm telling you, what does a parent do? If that baby falls, they'll go help them pick them up sometime, get them going again. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wherever we failed him, there's now therefore no condemnation. Do you understand that even the fall, even the missing him, even the not believing him sometimes can be the teacher that we needed? Did you hear that? Our very failure could have been the teacher we needed to do a better job next time. Why? Because we got another baby trying to walk. We got to set an example. We don't have to decree all of our problems to be an example. We just have to stop continuing to do them. Was that sound or did I got so dry I began to wonder. How about our future? Michael, you worried about the future? That's Christ-like. Do you have a reason to worry about the future? See, my mind may tell me I do, but I don't have to agree with my mind. I have to agree with the Word. Marie, got any reason to worry about the future? Ever made any mistakes? No. I'm telling you, I'm doing this because we need to recognize, what'd you say? That's right. We need to recognize that truth so we'll stop blaming ourselves. We set free. I don't care what we ever did yesterday. It didn't make any difference. What am I going to do today? That's all God wants to know about. He wants us to trust Him more every day, which means back there somewhere, which I no longer remember, I must not have trusted Him enough. Who's guilty of that? Everybody. Nobody. My future is sealed because all my needs are supplied. And they're not supplied by Obama. They're supplied by God's riches.
Yes.
And that covers so much more than just money.
That's right.
How about my eternity? How about my eternity? Is my eternity sure?
Absolutely.
You're absolutely sure. Right, Gene? You're absolutely sure. There's nothing that comes up in your mind through outside sources or inside sources that's ever going to convince you that your eternity is not sure. No. Because God honors and empowers your decisions. We don't talk about that enough, but God honors and empowers your decisions. He'll help you. You make a promise to Him, He'll help you keep the promise.
Amen.
I'm sure of. I've experienced more times than you can imagine. He'll remind me of a promise that I should have forgotten years ago. But he'll remind me. So I'm going to do it better. I'm going to do what I said. Ephesians, I'll read it to you. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. That's part of his riches. You hear the scripture? See, all my needs will be supplied according to his riches. This is what this says. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. We got that. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, can we out-sin his grace? No. Because if we say yes, then our past will be brought up to us again, and we'll fail just from our past. And I have no past. I'm only forgiven. And if we'll accept that, it's the truth. If we accept it, it's the truth. If we don't, it's a lie to us. We don't understand because we're not understanding the word. We'll actually walk in condemnation in the middle of a church body. Because it has to be, I have to believe this. I have to believe that I'm forgiven forever.
Amen.
His loyalty, his sacrifice, his love was total, complete, and forever. He will never leave, nor forsake, nor miss. All he asks from us is our love and our respect. Parents, you understand this. You understand the greatest respect is obedience. Is that not right? For your child to obey you is the greatest respect and honor that you can be given. And that's all Jesus asks from us. He never judges our deeds. He judges our yeses or noses. He judges whether we obey or we don't obey. And he judges how long it takes us. Because that determines how serious we are. There's nothing more important. Here's the key to the whole thing. There's nothing more important than our Savior. Because there's nothing more important than our safeness. And that's every moment of every day. Absolutely no exemptions. There's nothing can be more important than what God is thinking for me right at this moment. Nothing more important. My whole life and my whole breath and my whole reason for living must be to please Him. Well, that's easy for you to say. You're a preacher. Baloney. Baloney. You know what you're talking about. Just take care of yourself. Let me take care of me. My problems will be as big as my problems are, and your problems will be as big as yours are. I'll help you with yours if you'll help me with mine. Amen?
Amen.
Bill, you're going to wrong Gene. Gene, you're going to wrong Bill. Okay, now that we got that settled, are we already forgiven? So we're not going to take offense and carry it ever again, right? And that's everybody I'm talking to. Everybody. If we can operate without offenses, without worry, then all we do is operate in love.
Amen.
And when we operate in love, I care about you more than I do me.
Yes.
Selfishness requires that I must get even with you, and I must prove that you're wrong, and I must show you. That's selfishness. Jesus said, I've seen every sin you've ever done. I've seen every wrong you've ever thought, and I forgive you. And we're supposed to look like Him. That's ourselves too, mostly ourselves. Now, the question, if we're like Christ, that we've got to ask for this moment. If He came through that door right now, where would I spend eternity? Am I fully safe? Or have I not yet believed He is the final answer? Very critical. Very critical. It's a moment-by-moment critical. If He walked in right now, where would I spend eternity? Could I be found guilty of not fully trusting Him? If He walked in right now, where are my children? Where are my grandchildren? Where are my friends? Where are my loved ones? Where are those that I've put my time into? Where are they? And do I need to ask God what I need to do about it? More serious than I've ever been in my life. I don't ever want to have Him come to me and say, you didn't trust me. Yeah, but Jesus, you don't know what those people did to me. I said, you didn't trust me. You didn't trust me. I need to care about those sinners more than I do myself. See, if I determine, Bill, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, I have just put a burden on me to get you to not be a dirty, rotten sinner. If I'm like Christ, for God so loved the sinning world that He gave His Son. He would have no reason to give His Son if He wasn't for a sinner. Am I like him? Am I a son? For God so loved the world. So maybe I ought to get off my judgmental, I'm so good, high horse and get to worrying about where they're going to spend their eternity.
Amen.
If I believe they're wrong. And if I just have judged them wrong and I'm wrong, then I better worry about where I'm going to spend eternity. Because I'm not yet forgiven. Michael, I'll make you mad. You're going to make me mad. That's just to say that about everybody. But it's really good if I just pre-forgive you. I just pre-forgive you. That is easier than you think. If you don't do that, what happens is you walk into that person that you have that has offended you, and the offense comes. It's just boom, there it is. It's got you. And it'll show up by anger or by the wrong words or by the wrong feelings. We have. I'm sitting here thinking about how every one of you should value the time you spend with each other because you're so gifted and talented, and you refuse to recognize it. I'm telling you, I'm laying it on you right now. You guys are missing it because you don't understand how gifted and talented and anointed you are. And let me tell you what that causes. That causes those people that Jesus wants to send in here to be ministered to not send them in because it's a wrong spirit and a wrong attitude. That comes from not totally trusting Jesus about somebody and about a situation. Not just mine, but about theirs. And anger is not the issue here. See, I'm supposed to get angry for the word's sake. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Wrongdoing is supposed to offend me because it's the word you're offending. It's not me. It's pretty easy to say, I don't care if you go to hell or not. But that's not what the word says.
Amen.
This church's secret to growth is going to be the love to one another.
Amen.
And love to one another means respect. That means I'm only going to talk to you the way I want to be talked to. I'm not going to raise my voice to you unless you're just yelling louder than me. Then we'll just yell together. I remember. I got a lesson. Patrick got a lesson from you. The Holy Spirit ministered to me because of something you did, which is outstanding. I gave him instructions on how to handle some paperwork or some issue of some kind. And he didn't do it. He overdid it. He did it his way, added to mine. And when I recognized what he did, I thought, oh, that could cost us a lot of money. And I did what normal people do. I grabbed that phone. Patrick, what do you think you're doing? You know how much money that could cost us? And the Holy Spirit said, how much? It's not mine. It won't cost you squat. I don't care if you think you're in charge. According to my riches. And I settled down and I said, Patrick, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand clearly. If that church dies and goes away tomorrow, I'm still your friend. And you're still mine. Isn't that what I told you? Because I had to get me in order. I had to decide that that man was more important to me than this church. And if you want to be like Christ, that has to be every step of your life. Even if you make the mistake and have to get corrected. You're more important to me than this building, this church, this name, whatever you want to call it. You're more important. If Jesus can lay his life down for you while you were a sinner, that sets my standards right there. And if I don't act in those standards, I'm not fully safe myself. Saved. Sozoed. That was a good word.
Amen. Yes, it was.
It was a good word to me. And I thank God for it. Now, we're going to have to go somewhere, sometime. She's got a women's ministry group, large group, that expect to see her this Saturday, which means she's going to have to spend some days this week calling people. You know, she's got better things to do than call people, but she has decided that's not true. She's decided the time she puts into people is more valuable than her time. Are we doing that? Are we doing that as a church? Are we saying, man, I'm doing all the work already. I can't take on another thing. You're not. It says God's going to supply. He never said you would. You just do what you're supposed to do and let God take the brunt of the burden. Because yours is easy and light. Sometimes it don't feel that way. When you show up at a church and you do it because God tells you to, and the preacher there, the pastor says, I may ask you to leave. You better have your God cap on right quick. Or you're going to say some things you don't want to say. Come on. Let me say it another way. When you are doing what God wants you to do and somebody tells you you're wrong, you better have the mind of Christ to, or you're going to commit a sin because they just did. We don't get caught up in that. Anybody here ever get stabbed in the back? No. No. When we start answering right, we'll know we're free. By the way, I didn't plan that one. That one came out, and it was just God said no, so I said no. Because I had a story to go with it, and that was the wrong thing to do. I think God's through. I think he's through. Let's pray. Father, once again, I thank you for the privilege of ministering to your people. And I thank you that you gave me a word for them. And I thank you you gave that word to me too. And I thank you because they have heeded your word and will continue to heed their word. I prophesy that. That this church is going to grow. You've got all the time. We seem to be impatient. You've got all the time. Give us all the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation that we need to do your will so that you can do your will. We will be faithful. We will not be jealous. We will not be short. We will not be angry. Holy Spirit of the living God, minister after this heavy word. Minister right now and continue to minister so that they can recognize opportunities, recognize giftings and anointings and callings. Now that would require some negative things too when we have people proclaim they're gifted when they're not. We're able to in love say, sit down and we're going to minister a while and then we're going to see. And we're going to do it in love. And our trustfulness, our looking like Christ is going to be seen by others. And that's what's going to build this church. And when they hear us say something, they're going to risk their life on it. Because we do what we say. We act like Christ. We're always interested in change, change, change. We never get so old that we've arrived. And we never get so young that you don't know what you're talking about. We resist both sides of that. But we receive from you constantly in Jesus' name. And those people that are right out that door, dying, those people that are hungering and thirsting, we proclaim in faith that we're the answer. This church is the answer. We proclaim in faith that we're going to be like Christ, we're going to look like him, and when we speak, we're going to sound like him. And that was going to draw all men to him, not to us. It won't be to our programs. It won't be to our perfection. It won't be to our greatness, but it'll be to our faithfulness to Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. We love you. If that's not true, work on us until it is true. That's our oath to you, that we love you with all of our hearts. We trust you. And we will say, in Jesus' name, that we are being perfected as we walk. We feel your presence, we hear your voice, and we obey. Now we prophesy the church growth from inside out, that your children will grow. And others will see that, and they will come in and say, I want what you got. I don't know what that is, but I want it. And all the wrongdoings and all the misjudgments and all the misgivings we've had in the past and done in the past, we forgive ourselves. We forgive the church. We forgive those that have been offended. We loose them. Release the Holy Spirit in this place. We release ourselves. We release the ability when God begins to praise, worship through our voices. We will do it. We will do it loud. We will do it as long as necessary. And we will not be embarrassed. And when the Holy Spirit, through the keyboard, begins to play, she won't be unsure. She won't be insecure. She will walk in forgiveness and wholeness, and the music will come out. Same thing with the guitars. Same thing with those instruments that God is sending. Those musicians, those teachers, those pastors. We forgive ourselves of any shortcomings. We will not require of ourselves to have talents and giftings that we don't have. We'll be comfortable where we are, who we are. And we will transfer that feeling to anybody that walks into this building. In that process, we release you. Holy Spirit, we release you to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. And we will meet no one's standards but you. We will walk in no one's wisdom but yours. Praise you, Lord. The pastors of this church, they will speak in wiser and greater things than they ever have in the past. This church and the Holy Spirit releases them to only know the wisdom of God and to only speak the wisdom of God. And it's far beyond anything they can do. They recognize themselves not to be able, but to be willing. And you will make them able. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Father, as we go back to our whatever next thing we're supposed to do, Connie and I, we'll walk in safety. We walk in joy. We will travel in riches according to your glory, your riches. We will provision according to your riches. And in that church that's made a wrong turn in the recent past, we forgive it. We don't hold it against it. And in Jesus' name, we will Yes, we will. We'll straighten that thing out. We'll do it in the Holy Spirit, in Christ Jesus, in the will of God. And we'll do it in peace. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. We give you the highest place. It's all for your honor. It's all for your glory. Use us. Something's going to use our lives up. Let it be you. Nothing can be said greater of any person is that they were used up in the work of God, in the will of God. We say that, we prophesy that over every individual now. In Jesus' name. Anything else? Bob? All's cool? Well, then we proclaim victory and change in this place in Jesus' name. And we'll hear and receive no other report, and we thank you for it. And everybody that agrees says,
Amen. Amen.